Hello and welcome back to Couch Surfing with Koi, the traveling podcast where the guests are whoever lets me sleep on their couch. And in today's episode, I am back in Brighton in the United Kingdom, and I'm on a friend's couch, but in this episode, I'm by myself because I have a lot to catch you up on. It's been a while, and since the last episode, I have stepped over the red line and escaped the big circle and forfeited my cash prize and left Mr. Beast. And I moved out. I moved out of Mr. Beastland and I put all of my stuff into a storage locker in my hometown. And now I am officially living out of my suitcase, couch surfing and seeing where it takes me. Also I was on reality TV recently. So that was like a whole thing that we'll get into it. We're going to get into all of that. I'm going to answer some of your questions. There's going to be some intro music that's going to interrupt me anytime soon. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to this couch, actually, because I've been on it before. You might actually recognize it from the episode with Tubbo. I am currently sleeping on Tubbo's couch. And he's not here right now because I have taken his keys and locked him out. And I think I'm just going to live here now. So, expect more episodes. I think I'm going to drop the whole couch surfing thing and just kind of, you know, I found somewhere to move in. And he doesn't really have any way to get back in. So, I'm just playing. But wouldn't that be completely hilarious and unexpected? Anyways, a lot has been going on. Seriously, it's been insane. I moved out beginning of March. That was crazy to pack up my life and finally move on from the craziest chapter of my life so far. Stick around because the chapters of my life are only going to get crazier from here. And I've moved away from Mr. Beast. If you're new here and you're like, what, he lived next to Mr. Beast? Yeah. Mr. Beast is my father-in-law. It's a fun fact that I just made up. But in all seriousness, he's not technically my father-in-law. I was just created in a lab by his company. And, they were like, oh, he's a little too twinkish. I don't really know if we want the queer ones on screen. So, they sent me out of there and now I'm homeless. So maybe they'll give me $10,000 on camera though. Cause that's what they do to homeless people, right? Right? So most of that was a lie, and I'm sorry if I've confused you further. It's just like hard to make sense of a chapter of my life that still doesn't make sense to me. It's crazy that I've like moved on from Mr. Beastland and moved out because now it's like the reality of living there is like starting to set in even more. That it's like now that I'm not like immersed by it, I can kind of like process it and wrap my head around it a little bit more, that is like a thing that happened. And I have like the beginning and the middle and the end to process or to just, you know, ignore and keep running from my whole life, which, you know, this podcast seems to be a great means of escapism so far. But yeah, I'm like actually officially nomadic now, I guess. And it's been crazy to kind of process and start living through the next chapter of my life. Like to, you know, this chapter feels just as insane. I mean, I'm not like, you know, watching 100 people get trapped inside a volcano or something anymore, finally. But it still is crazy to be like, oh, I am without a home and I'm just kind of inserting myself into people's lives and being like, hey, can we hang out and can you let me kind of follow you around everywhere and then record a podcast episode with me? Man, have I become the worst kind of person? I would absolutely hate me. I don't know how this is working. I don't know how this is working and people are letting me inside their homes. I mean, I guess it's like maybe they feel bad for me. That might be it. I think I would feel bad for like the twink that like lived next to Mr. Beast. I do. You know what? I do currently feel bad for the twinks that still do live next to Mr. Beast. So I would let them in my home and sleep on my couch, I guess. I just kind of wanted to catch you up this episode, answer some of your questions. You guys gave a lot of great questions that I'm really excited to get into. And a lot of questions I was expecting, like, I don't know. A lot of them were, like, really going to get into some stuff today. Wow, what a teaser. Like, okay, of course we're going to get into some stuff. And before we do, is there anything that you wanted to say? Okay. Please don't speak again. I don't know why you sound like that. And I think you need to fix. I think you need to fix it, if that's okay. You know how, like, American kids will watch enough Peppa Pig that they slowly start to become British? You should watch just, like, a video of anyone who speaks differently than you do and then learn how to speak like that. Because I didn't like your tone, your attitude, your voice, or the way that you are. But can you actually keep watching this video, though, even though I was still mean to you? Because actually, my ability to travel the world depends on me monetizing your attention. So I'm sorry for being mean to you, and I take it all back. And also, you have a beautiful voice and a beautiful smile and a beautiful heart, and I want to start a family. All right, I think I fix that. So basically, I moved out on March 1st and they were like, move out March 1st. And I was like, okay. And then I started marching and then I went, now what? I can move, I guess. Cause you told me to march first. Right. So I moved out. Sorry. It's been so long since I've done this. Confront myself is what I mean by do this. So I moved out and on March 1st, I drove all of my stuff to my hometown. It was a 12-hour drive back to the cornfields in the Midwest. And if you're wondering which state I live in the Midwest, I live in Missouri again. And also Wisconsin. So hopefully that clears that up. I put all my stuff in a storage locker, like I said, and then March the 4th be with you, I flew to the UK for Tubbo's Tubathon, which is basically not the name of a Muppet, but rather a stream that my friend Tubbo does where he streams for his life for 30 days. And, this time around, he wanted to do like a reality TV show where he traps 6 people in a house and then every day the chat votes people out. And I got here 6 days after I had moved out. I hadn't even recovered from jet lag yet. I was locked into a house with 5 other content creators. And I seriously can't get too into it because, like, currently they're working on, you know, editing down the 7 days of the live stream, into kind of like a digestible reality TV, like hour long episode thing. But for now, I'm just going to get into generalities. Is that a word? Am I making one up? Generalities. I'm going to generalize about it. And it was a lot of fun at first. It was like, oh, we're all just friends hanging out in an Airbnb. This is so much fun. Oh, we're going to have to vote one of us out. Let's start a little bit of fake drama for fun. And then suddenly it got so serious and so cutthroat. And it was just drama and fighting and crying. And I think I loved every second of it. I think that reality TV might be my new calling. I don't want to spoil how it ends because there's going to be an edited version that comes out that I think will be incredible for you to watch at some point. And I'll make sure to shout that out when it's out. But seriously, I love being mean to people for fun. And the fact that this was not only being mean to people for fun, but it was for competition, and that the being mean to people was entertainment and you got an excuse to do it, I really think that this is my calling. Have you ever seen Disney Pixar's Soul? I watched that recently, and there's, like, that bit where, like, the people who are doing their, like, art get into, like, a flow state. You know, it's, like, he's playing piano, and then he, like, transcends into this, like, astral plane where, like, everyone goes when they enter the flow. I think that that is how I felt as I was, like, holding a wine glass, pointing and screaming at people that I, like, hated them and wanted them out of the house. Like, I think that I was there. I was floating. I was in my flow state. I had found my calling. And I just felt connected with what I think I was born to do, which is be petty on the internet and manipulate people to get them away from me so that I can take things from them. And that's what I got up to the first, like, week or so after me moving out. And I don't think that we expected how real it would all get. Like, obviously you're playing a game, but this game becomes your life. You know, like, every decision that you're making and all of the things that you're doing are being watched by the people who control your fate at the end of the day. You know, 24/7, you're being live streamed and you can't see the chat. So you don't know how people are responding to you. And you also don't know if the camera that's in front of you in your room of the house is on you and being live streamed to thousands of people or not. And so it was just, like, so psychological. And, like, a few, like, just a day or two into it, it, like, suddenly got so real. Like, we didn't have our phones. We didn't have, like, really access to the internet much at all. And I just, like, kept forgetting where I was. And I kept forgetting that it was, like, a game and that, like, we weren't actually fighting. And, like, the emotions were, you're obviously, like, playing up drama in order to entertain an audience, but also the emotions that you're playing up are, like, coming from a real place. And at a certain point, it just becomes, like, you're actually starting to hate your friends. And that was so much fun, and I want to do it more often. And I think that it has damaged some relationships in my life irreparably, but I think I'm okay with that, and I think it was worth the experience. Literally, I remember on day 6, I think it was, I was like, can you play some music? And I had music played for me by the host, Tubbo, and it genuinely made me start crying. Like, I was like deprived of, like, things that weren't, like, emotional manipulation and, you know, psychological torment. But like, I'm sure you've been there. You know, you've probably had, like, a Thanksgiving that was kind of similar. The reason that I bring this up, even though, like, I know that Twitch is a completely different world than, like, my podcast audience, is because it actually took me, like, a week to recover. I was in that house, you know, for just about a week was the filming. And getting out of the house, I think it took me, like, a week to recover psychologically. Like, I had what I can only describe as psychological jet lag. I remember doing the Wordle the day after I got out of the house and getting a word wrong and, like, being, like, so devastated. Being like, well, there goes everything I worked for. I want back on reality TV. I want to be mean to people again. But this time, I don't want to do it with my friends. I want to do it to people that, like, I don't have to recover the opinions of them after the fact. Like, I want to hate some people and stay hating them. Because right now, I got into, like, a really, really intense... I got into, like, a really intense situation with a good friend of mine when we were in the show. And it seriously has taken a while for us to get back to where we were before. And we, like, know that it was all a bit. We know that it was all for entertainment. But, like, still, it was, like, a week of my life. And it was, like, actually, like, stuff I experienced. And that just felt crazy. I felt like I was living through, like, a lower stakes version of, like, the challenges that I have just witnessed over the past 2 years as I was on Beast sets. And I feel like it drove me crazy. So looking back at, you know, player number 42 in the light blue Squid Game tracksuit or whatever they're doing now, I'm like, I'm sorry. And I hope that you get the proper resources. I hope that there's a ZocDoc appointment for you in your future. I hope that there's better help, or maybe not better. And I can't condone that one anymore. What did they do? People are like, oh, don't support BetterHelp anymore. They apparently don't hire real therapists and leak all of your private information. Okay. But yeah, I'm back in the UK. It feels great. This is like my fourth, maybe fifth time being here. I think that I low-key love it here, unfortunately. I think that I'm starting to love it. I've started saying things like cheers instead of thank you and hiya instead of hi. I'm drunk instead of I'm okay. It's great. You know, everyone is smoking a cigarette. Everyone is drinking pints at like 11 a.m. I'll be like on the way to go work. And, you know, someone sat there drinking. It's like a Tuesday morning. Or sorry, a Tuesday morning. Also, everyone kind of has haircuts that make it look like they shave their head and then like put half a wig on top. You know, it's like a really intense bowl cut over like a completely shaved, you know, the British haircut, and their like mouth kind of sticks out and like a half an inch from their face, so that when they talk, it's like at you. It's like a 4D movie, especially because they're spitting. I love it here. I love the culture. I love everyone being angry. I think it feels great. It feels great when there's like an overcast day, because like it's just calm. I was just in North Carolina, and so the sun was really intense. And now, not having any sun, I'm like, maybe the light has to come from within. Maybe the sun has to start with me. Maybe I need a pint at 11 a.m. I really love it here. So, but then every once in a while, I'll remember America and what they're doing. And it makes me want to run home and go participate. Whew. So, is America, you guys doing okay? Because I saw that Donald Trump is doing something again. I voted for him, but then I found out that we were supposed to vote for the one that we wanted to be president. And so now I just feel bad. Because I thought that it was like a vote to eliminate kind of thing. But bad joke. If people don't get that I'm joking, I did not vote for Trump. In 2016, because I wasn't old enough. But 2024, I marked him on my ballot. Several ballots, actually. Several mail-in ballots. Anyway, should we get into some questions? Also, should I get a British haircut? My hair's getting way too long, and I don't have a barber here, so I think that I need to go to a British one and just really embrace culture. So you guys asked me a bunch of questions because you're nosy and because I asked you to ask me a bunch of questions. And now I'm going to answer a bunch of questions because you guys asked me a bunch of questions because I asked you to ask me a bunch of... First question is from Rowan, and they ask, what did you want to be when you grew up, or how did it change as you got older? Ever since I can remember, I wanted to be a YouTuber. And then I realized that's not a smart idea. Because you shouldn't follow your dreams if they're unrealistic, because you're probably not going to get there. So, you know, if you're watching and you feel really inspired by my pursuit of my dream, stop, because I already took it and there's no more room. I'm sorry that I'm acting this way today. It's been a while since I've done a solo episode, and I think I'm being mean to myself, and I'm going to try to be kinder. So I wanted to be a YouTuber, and that's just because I was watching a bunch of people be YouTubers, and like they were just on their like little webcams in their bedrooms, just like talking and like doing the chapstick challenge and cinnamon challenge and eraser challenge and Charlie pencil challenge and boyfriend tag and best friend tag and poopy diaper challenge and poopy diaper. Can we talk about the poopy diaper challenge where you just eat? Isn't that where you eat chocolate out of a diaper? Was that a thing that people were doing in old YouTube? I was watching anything. Okay, would we rather have our kids be growing up on Skibidi Toilet and AI Brain Rot or Poopy Diaper Challenge and Chapstick Challenge? Sound off in the comments. Poopy Diaper Challenge son, Chapstick Challenge daughter. I think I'd go for the Chapstick Challenge daughter. The Poopy Diaper Challenge is just... I'm going to stop saying it now. But it is Poopy Diaper. Poopy... Sorry, I'm laughing at, you know, the term poopy diaper. Do you not find that funny? Yeah, I wanted to become a YouTuber because I was just inspired by, you know, Glozell and Jenna Marbles and Tyler Oakley. No, I didn't really watch Tyler Oakley or Connor Franta or Joey Graceffa or Thomas Sander because I was like, that's really sad that you're gay and you're not hiding it. You know, and honestly, with the way my legs are crossed right now, it's really sad with the way I'm not hiding it either. So I can't really blame them. But yeah, I loved early YouTube. I loved that it was this place where you could be yourself, except I didn't really like that it was this place you could be yourself because that's something that needs to be shoved deep down and not shared with the world. Wow, I've just got this really beautiful energy about me today, huh? But as I grew up, I was like, being a YouTuber isn't really realistic. So instead, I'll just work for Pixar. That's easy. You know what's easier than being a YouTuber? Getting a job in art. I wanted to be an animator, like a storyboarder. I was really obsessed with Pixar. I was really obsessed with character design and storyboarding and drawing things and then leaving my sketchbook open as I like carried it around family events waiting for people to be like, wow, that is really a cool eye that you copied from Pinterest. And I'd be like, wow, thank you so... I didn't even mean to show that. Oh my gosh, but thank you. Do you want to see more? Do you want to see more? Because I've also drawn girl hair. I've also drawn faceless girl with hair, with big pink anime hair. You want to see that? And by the way... Before you start, I remember when I was a kid, I was like, I don't understand. Like, I'm going to draw girls because I think they're hot. I thought that like drawing girls all the time, like drawing like cute little anime girls was like so mask of me. I was like, this is me being straight. I'm going to go kiss this later. And no one can stop me. I'm going to draw a bunch of girls off of Pinterest and I'm going to kiss them. I didn't do that. I just liked making their hair pink and making them look pretty. And then sometimes I'd draw a boy and that felt really dirty. I remember every time I'd draw a boy, I'd be like, oh my gosh. I'd be like, I just drew a neck. Oh my gosh, I'm shaking. I shouldn't be doing this right now. Then when I got into high school, I kind of let comparison come in and be the thief of my joy. And I need to stop my train of thought because I just imagined Inside Out 3 where comparison comes in and kidnaps joy. So maybe I should have worked for Pixar. But I got into high school and there was this girl in my class that would always show her sketchbook pages and they were so good and they looked like the ones from my phone that I would copy. And then I realized that I was good at drawing, but I was really, really good at copying. I was really, really good at like just like looking at something and like being like, oh, I know exactly how to draw that. And I can do that from like the real world. But I was never really good about like developing my own like style or like finding my art form medium and style. And I kind of gave up on that and also got super into theater. And so I was like, I'll just be a theater director. Theater director is the thing that I think that I could still be to this day if it weren't for, you know, me freeloading off of people for a living right now. Now, as I've grown up, as I'm entering my 20s, I'm not really sure what I'd I guess I just want to be loved and understood, probably. I think that's what I want to be when I grow up. It's just freaking appreciated. But I guess some things stay dreams, huh? That's kind of a crazy part about dreams, actually, about your dreams coming true. My childhood dream of becoming a YouTuber is that when a dream comes true, it dies. Suddenly the dream is reality, and surprise, surprise, being a YouTuber isn't as glamorous or doesn't make me feel the like childlike wonder often that I thought that it would. I don't know if I wanted to be a YouTuber as much as I just wanted to be Jenna Marbles in her YouTube videos, or at least one of her dogs. I wanted Soap Cut for me. Is that too much to ask? Apparently. But that's kind of like a thing that I've like learned over the past few years, is that like getting the thing that you want doesn't fix everything. And I'll actually give a little anecdote for this, because I just kind of like presented a big philosophical problem that like causes, a quarter life and midlife crises. And I was watching Soul recently. Spoilers for the movie Soul. Skip ahead a few seconds if you have not seen it, because it's so good. And you should definitely watch it. But there's a part where the main character gets what he wants. He finally got to play this gig, and he's no longer going to be a jazz teacher. He's playing jazz gigs. You know, he feels like a musician. And he goes out and he goes to the person he looks up to, the saxophone player, and he's like, why don't I feel good, why don't I feel the way that I thought I would. And she's like, there's this fish who kept being like, I want the ocean, someone help me find the ocean. And the other fish is like, you're in the ocean. And he's like, no, this isn't the ocean. This is water. And I've watched that movie a few times, but I feel like recently it finally clicked for me what that means. And that like when you're focusing on one specific moment and you're trying to like feel your like purpose and feel like your like life is complete from like one specific thing right in front of you, you miss out on the fact that like everything is the point, and every single day and every single moment, whether it's like the most dull or most exciting thing ever, that like every single second that you're living is your life and is the point. And that like one thing isn't gonna feel like everything because it's one thing and it's not everything. Rowan also asked another good question. Were you a part of a cringe fandom growing up? Ooh, yeah. Yes, I was. Not so bad, because like I said, I was like homophobic growing up, so that really kept me from like the really cringe ones. I think, no offense to queer people. I was doing the most cringe thing of all, though, which was bigotry. Ooh, saved it there. I liked Pixar so much. I would learn every single thing that I could about Pixar. I would go on Google Street View and just like walk the streets of the studio and be like, so this is how I'm going to get to work. And then I'd like look up like houses around there and be like, this is how much I'm going to have to pay. This is how much I'm going to make. I would do the math. I basically lived the life of a Pixar animator. So ask me anything. And then I also was into Harry Potter. I loved Harry Potter, but I would even like play Harry Potter when I was a kid. Like as like a game, like in the way that you play House, except like I had a friend whose dad was a doctor. And so they naturally had a bunch of like Harry Potter collectibles in their basement. If their dad's a doctor, they have a basement. They have a carpeted basement and with collectibles. With a Star Wars lightsaber that you're not allowed to touch. Which doesn't make sense to me. Okay, why are you gonna own a Star Wars lightsaber and then you can't touch it? That's like owning a thing that you can't use. How's that for a metaphor? came up with that on the spot. We would play with the wands, but I remember when we were younger, we weren't allowed to use the curses. We weren't allowed to, and we can bleep this, say things like Avada Kedavra, or Crucio, because those were like the evil forbidden curses. And, you know, you can only go so far as a Christian. And and so Lumos and Wingardium Leviosa and maybe the occasional Expecto Patronum, those are already kind of delving into sacrilegious territory. And so I was really glad that we were able to stay grounded in reality and not use any of the evil Death Eater spells. I was so upset. I was so obsessed with Harry Potter. I think that I just loved the world to get immersed into. I mean, like, that's what I loved with Pixar as well. And then the other one that I loved, but like, I look back and I'm like, was I really that into it? Is Disney. And okay, actually, yeah, I was that into it. I called myself a Diz nerd and I loved to do a Stitch impression. I loved Frozen. I loved looking up a bunch of facts about Disney. I think I just loved feeling like a part of something. Like, that was what I loved about being in a fandom. And a part of something I was, I had an Instagram account. And here we go. I'm going to pull out some screenshots for you. I started with the name Walt Disney Facts. So I was, you know, providing facts about Disney that I found on Google and then just put over some image. Eventually, I changed it to a more broad fandom account. Let me see what year I started this. Oh my gosh, I posted so much. Actually, I think a reason that I posted so much was because there was this... All right, I'm gonna read one of the captions on one of these many photos of Olaf that I posted. So, ... There is this 141K shout out that I really want. And I thought if I post 141 posts in 1 week, I might win. So that means about 20 posts a day. I've been so inactive lately. So hopefully this will make up for it. By the way, if you comment or like on each post, I will enter you in a drawing for a special prize. Yeah, I'm sure I followed through on that. At 10 years old, how was I giving out a special prize? If you like this and comment, you will be entered twice. Okay, guys, special prize still yet to give out. This is pick number 39, and today's theme is Olaf. Hashtag 141K Disney shout out. So I don't think that I got the shout out. For some reason, I guess posting 20 times a day begging for a shout out was a overkill. So, you know, that's a little upsetting. But I did, however, do something really fun, which was just lie all the time and just kind of beg for attention online. I started this account March 31st, 2015. So almost 10 years ago, I was 11 years old. And I was posting Disney facts. Disney fact one, and this is really hard to read here. The Incredibles live in Metroville. The town's name is based off of Metropolis, which is where Superman lives, and Smallville, which is where he grew up. Okay. And that, wow. And I got 47 likes on that. And a lot of this was like for like. So a lot of these likes, you know, just put me in debt, really. And then I would kind of do this thing where I guess I stopped doing Disney facts and I started posting these gradient images. I would just edit screenshots from Disney movies really poorly and then put like quotes over them, and then also I would post Bible verses so that I could enter hashtag hopping for Christ. It was a contest where you post a Bible verse, and I just kind of did that among my Disney facts. So really was a loosely branded account, and then I expanded it past just Walt Disney facts. I'm no longer just giving facts to everyone anymore. I'm Prince of Arendelle. All right. So I was Christoph. I think that sometimes I would role play in group chats. I don't know how that got said for me so easily. Could we cut that out? I don't know how I offered that up so quickly. I remember I was so proud of this edit. I was so proud of this. Only true love can thaw a frozen heart. Here's a new edit. Finally, a happy one. Sorry for not posting, but I was really busy. Question of the day. Favorite non-Disney movie? Answer of the day. Harry Potter. Super cool stuff. So I'm going to show you some of the posts. And for audio listeners, I'll just describe. So it hosts drawing competitions. And the winners, of course, would get shout outs to tens of people. And I had someone submit a really good drawing of Buzz and Woody. A really great pencil drawing. And then I remember someone who got second place to them, because they won, obviously, it was incredible, was like, I found this image on Google. And I was like, yeah, of course you found it on Google. I just posted it. And then they were like, ask the person to send a photo of their own drawing with a thumbs up in front of it. And so I did. Okay, I DM and I was like, hey, so sorry to do this, but like your drawing's so great that we just need confirmation that it's actually theirs. Blocked. They blocked me. And then I found out that people could just lie to you. Apparently. Even when you're trying to do something good, like post other people's art for likes on Instagram. Even when you're trying to just host a fun little competition, people can just Google Buzz Lightyear and Woody drawing. And they can just take everything from everyone. And so, yeah, it was hard to move on. Yeah, of course, shortly after that, I posted a post that says, comment below, why do you like me / what do you like about me? Of course I would post something like that. I was cheated. I was hurt. I needed confirmation that people still liked me. And do you? And do they? And I still haven't changed. So yeah, and then here's another photo that I edited. Let me read this caption to you. Hey guys, I deleted my last post because no one liked it. ... I just made this edit and I've been wanting to make an edit of a Disney character taking a selfie. You know, you went through that phase too, right? Where you wanted to make an edit of a Disney character taking a selfie. I found a pic of Judy holding her badge out, so I thought it would be perfect. I will post a modern edit of this. Oh, I will post a modern edit if this gets 35 likes. It got 36. And if you can't watch right now, if you're just listening to the audio, it's basically just a picture of Judy Hopps from Zootopia holding out an iPhone instead of her badge. So that's kind of some of the stuff that I have in my past under my belt. That's, you know, I was a bit of a prodigy when it comes to social media. Also, I would draw sometimes and post it on that account. This is a photo of Rapunzel drinking Starbucks, of course. And I definitely just copied this from Pinterest. But I did change a few things, like how I put my initials at the bottom of it, like it was my own art. So I didn't really steal. But that one got 73 likes, so you can't even blame me, right? Okay, last little few posts from this. It's just a photo of Flynn Rider and Rapunzel swinging on her hair. And the caption is, bye guys, I'm leaving Instagram. I'll miss all of you. My followers haven't been active at all. I think it's time I move on. And then the next day, I'm not leaving Instagram. This is an edit that took forever. This is my first modern edit. Tell me what you think of it. And it's a blurry photo of Anna wearing a sweatshirt. I remember it took me so long to put that sweatshirt on Anna, but she looks good, right? Like, that's literally, that was okay. And that was my first modern edit. Okay. So before you try to criticize my Anna wearing her sweatshirt, you try to make a modern edit. You try to make Judy Hopps hold an iPhone. That's what I thought. So, yeah, that was my Disney fan account. I've been influencing since the age of 11. Okay, next question we have from Moon Bleeding Moss, and they ask, have you ever been a theater kid? No. So next question. Riley asks, I've heard you mention some high school theater horror stories, and as someone going through that currently, how did you manage all the craziness and streaming? Like, how did you deal with the theater kids in high school and also doing theater and streaming at the same time? Okay, so yeah, I was a theater kid. I've really got to figure out this whole digital footprint thing. Because I've got to stop saying stuff that makes me seem like some gay little nerd on the internet. Because I'm not a gay little nerd. I'm a Diz nerd. And there's a difference. All right? Yeah, I was in theater. I still love musical theater. I still love theater. I still love it so much. When I entered theater in high school, there were some horror stories. There was that couch backstage that people would just kind of, find things out about each other on, you know? That feels like a worse way to say they would fuck. Okay. I feel like that is better than what I just said. there was, you know, I don't know if every theater department had that couch, or that mattress, because we had both apparently. But there was, always like a legend of like, oh, this place is haunted by this, and this person used to, climb here, and this costume was worn by someone who was killed by Carmen Winstead, and this paint bucket has the spit of our ancestors, and you should spit in it too. And there's just so much like that happening, of all these like legends and culture. And when you're an underclassman, you feel like you're in a movie and you're about to get offered a weed, and you're gonna have to do the smoking of it. And so it was crazy. It was insane. Luckily, it kind of like toned down the older that I got. I think that's because there was like a new theater director who like had been in that theater before and knew how it worked and knew the bad parts of it that definitely needed fixed, that definitely needed changed. But that doesn't change the fact that it was still high school theater. So, of course, there was drama. And, of course, there were rumors. And, of course, there were nosy queer teenagers that knew about what I did on the internet. Because my senior year of high school, I got to live that Hannah Montana lifestyle going from, you know, I was super involved in theater because I wanted to be a theater director when I grew up. And but then I also became super involved in the stuff that I was doing online. I actually think that that dealing with both at the same time was a lot, but I do miss it now that I look back. I think that having a hobby outside of the hobby that's making me money, something that's like that I'm really invested in and really enjoy and have a lot of fun with, that doesn't also feel like my job, I think that was really good for me to like go back to and escape to and feel like I'm like using my skills and then get to like bring them into this thing that is doing really well and is like making, you know, possibly a living for me. And the theater kids that knew about what I did online, there were ones that like were obviously kind of like shyer around me because people just kind of treat you differently once you get some followers on the internet. But there were, for the most part, it was just like you would hate for someone who's going to bully you to find the stuff that you do online. And like that's not really how it worked in the groups that I was hanging out with, you know, because we were all in high school theater, we're all already losers. I think that like when people found out about it, they either, I mean, like sometimes there was jealousy for sure, because we all have the desperate for attention syndrome. But a lot of times it was just like, they were like, oh, that's a really cool thing that you do. And so it was cool to be respected by the group that I ran around with, and to be like, this is this cool thing that we can all talk about. So yeah, I think that apart from some like awkward interactions of like me being like, hey, we're like in theater together and we're peers, please don't like be nervous to speak to me or treat me differently. That was weird, but it was pretty chill. And I only had to get rid of like 3 people who wouldn't keep their mouths shut about it. And yeah, that was pretty quick and painless for them, I think. So it was a good time. All right, next question. Stars Arisen asks, how was living on your own shortly after moving out? I'll be moving into my own place in the next few years. Does being able to be your own person in your own environment make being alone and having to do everything yourself tolerable? Yeah, being your own person in your own environment, it is so, and I seriously cannot stress this enough, miserable and sad and scary and hopeless. And, every day feels like the world is ending. And then the days where the world doesn't feel like it's ending, it's like, oh, this is only temporary. And so are all of we. So are all of we. Moving out of my own was like, oh yeah, I'm self-sufficient. I'm getting out of my parents' house. I don't have to listen to them anymore. I can live my life however I want. I'm going to be so free. Every day is going to be a blank canvas. I'm getting out of this sorry town that I should have left years ago. And now I'm finally out of here. See y'all later. And then suddenly all my problems didn't go away. And instead, all of the problems that were just me were alone in a house with myself. You know, a lot of the stuff that I could blame on my hometown, or a lot of the stuff that I could blame on, you know, the way that I was raised even, or, you know, my circumstances or being trapped or being limited, like suddenly all those limits were gone and I was just left with, oh, I am in control of my own life. And I'm the one in control, and no one else has control over that. And so if I'm not feeling good, that's a reflection of my own actions. And then you can get into this spiral, and the spiral downward and downward and downward. And yeah, so good luck. I like don't offer a solution or advice. No, it's just a huge learning curve. And I think that like, It's so naive, even looking back to like 2 years ago, the mindset that I had moving out, of thinking that my life was going to get easier. And like certain parts of it did, you know, like certain parts of it were really good for me. But certain parts of it were like so much harder than I expected. And like being with myself all the time, I was like, I didn't expect to like learn so much about myself. I feel like I've learned more about myself in the past 2 years than I have throughout my from the first 18, you know, like, and that is so cool. And that's so exciting. But it's a matter of like, the learning curve of like, getting to a place where you consider it cool and exciting, and finding out how you want to spend your time, and how to like build a friendship with yourself, and like learn what you want, not just in the present moment, but in the future, and how to like get over the pressure of being your own adult, you know, being your own self and by yourself. It's just like, it's a lot of pressure, and it takes a lot of self-love, and it takes so much self-compassion, and it takes so much self-discipline. Like, a big thing that I've learned is that, like, self-discipline is self-love. I feel like, especially, like, a few years ago when we were talking about, like, take care of yourself, drink water, hydrate, rest when you need to, don't push yourself too hard. Sometimes self-love is pushing yourself, and it is discipline. And it's, oh, I really don't feel good today. I need to get out of bed. Not, I don't feel good today, so I'm going to stay in bed and rot and perpetuate the cycle of not feeling good. You know, sometimes you have to like be your own parent and be your own friend, I guess, and just like take care of yourself. And it doesn't always feel good in the moment, but like learning how to take care of your present self for your future is like so hard and is something that I still struggle with to this day. But the thing that I can say is that I look back to where I started just 2 years ago and I see the progress. And I see that, like, the things that I struggle with, that I struggled with 2 years ago and I'm still struggling with today, I don't struggle with as much, or I at least have an awareness that I struggle with them, and that is progress. I don't know. Sorry if that was, like, doomsday pessimism, but I just feel like I feel like it's underplayed how difficult this part of your life is like being on your own and, like, moving out into the real world and, like, the possibility that you have. But it really becomes about perspective. But I do think that, like, growing up and into adulthood, you know, although it's, like, romanticized and, like, it's like, oh, freedom, yeah, we're gonna live it up, we're gonna be so young, and, like, the highs are really high because of that, but it's not really talked about how it suddenly is the you suddenly have no idea what you're doing, and it's the hardest time of your life, and that can feel really discouraging. And especially, I hate that I'm gonna say this, but especially with social media, it's so discouraging. It's so discouraging to be in complete control of your entire life and then look at an Instagram story of someone else and feel like, why isn't that me? Why am I not there? Why can I not do what they're doing? And that's so trite. That's so oversaid of, like, oh yeah, comparison, it's the thief of joy. It kidnaps joy in Inside Out 3. That's a big spoiler. I'm so sorry. But it's so true. And I feel like it's already consumed so much of my early adulthood, and I'm not going to let it do that anymore. I have taken such a big step back from social media, and it's so easy to fall into that, of course, because these traps are set up to keep us comparing ourselves to other people, to keep us feeling badly about ourselves, that we'll keep buying things that we think are going to make us feel better about ourselves. Or, you know, you buy a coffee so you feel like you have some kind of control over your life again. It already can feel so hard. And so I don't know where I'm going with all of this. I'm just kind of, like, spiraling again. But big advice points, okay, of living on your own or just coming of age or just feeling good in general. Get moving. Do some kind of exercise, whether that's even just, like, going on a walk in the morning. Practice self-compassion. Get plants. Get something else to take care of that isn't yourself. It just helps with, like, being, it just helps with taking care of yourself and getting in the routine of that and getting that discipline and also, like, seeing that, like, forgiveness. 'Cause, like, if a plant is dying, you're not going to get so mad at the plant. You're going to be like, what is the plant not getting that it needs? And that's a question that I have to ask myself when I feel like I'm dying. And get off your phone. Because if you're constantly distracting yourself, you're not spending any time alone. And so the time where you are alone with yourself is just going to feel miserable and feel empty. And it's just going to feel like, all right, when's my next distraction? When's the next time that I can escape into something that isn't me? And when you're living alone, that's just not a sustainable way to live. You should be throwing parties every night, big ragers. What else is that house good for? You're going to want a really long counter for ingesting cocaine into your nostrils. You're going to want a counter for. A few final things. When you have time alone, really try to, like, find ways to enjoy it. You know, think about what you used to do to cure boredom as a kid. Like, just like, be your own friend. Like, hang out with yourself. Like, I feel like a big part of me hating myself was just, like, not even getting, like, spending the time to get to know myself. Like, I was always go, doing things for other people and always had to be spending time with someone. And if I wasn't, then I'm listening to a podcast or I'm watching a YouTube video or I'm looking at an Instagram story or I'm watching TikTok or I'm, you know, doing something that just, like, is escaping me. But now that I'm, like, showing up for myself and I'm pushing past the discomfort of being bored with myself, I like get to, I find out new things about myself. I try to embrace the boredom and then like follow some kind of curiosity, and then I can find something out about myself that, you know, I might enjoy, or that I don't enjoy, or see, like, I just found out that I can do a seal impression, and I didn't even know that. The only person in your life that you're guaranteed for the rest of your life is yourself. So you have got to learn how to get over yourself and how to get along with yourself and what you enjoy doing and how you enjoy spending your time and what makes you feel good. And it will take a long time and it'll constantly change. But, you know, you got to do it anyway. So I don't know what to tell you. Stop asking me questions. All right, next question. Are you having a quarter-life crisis? No, shut up. And never watch this podcast again, Banana Guard 17. And also, I'm going to sneeze. Miskinamina asks, what are your current career goals long-term? I don't really know even what I want to do in the next few months, let alone the next 5 years. My 5-year plan is to shut down any questions about my long-term future. But I feel like right now, if I had to guess, I really want to get into music this year. I want to start making music. I really want to get back into acting. I would love to do some on-camera acting, because I've never really done that before. Except for when I lie to you guys for an hour straight. I don't know if that counts. But I did a lot of on-stage acting, and I feel like it's such a different medium that I, like, really, really want to learn how to do, on-camera acting. I would love to do that. I also would love to do some, like, stand-up and some comedy stuff. So one of these days I'll make a joke and, just overall kind of farting around, as they say in the biz. I just kind of want to, like, float around and entertain people and make people laugh. And I don't know what that looks like in the future. I think that a life goal of mine, I would love to write a sitcom. I would love to write a sitcom. But other than that, I'm just enjoying, like, going where I feel suits me and where I feel like people will give me the attention that I need to breathe. So, dream guest on your podcast, NatCrafts23 asks. Okay, I have a list here. We have Christy from Dance Moms, Grace Vanderwall, Nina, or any other cultural icon. So, like, anyone who just kind of changed the way that the world works. Like, Grace Vanderwall, I don't know my name. I feel like that made everyone, at least my age, sing all the time. I thought that a golden buzzer would have changed my life by now, and that still hasn't happened. That's crazy. Also, any of the Muppets, any Muppet, please, any single, if I could speak to a Muppet and be and feel like it's real, because I get really sad all the time that the Muppets aren't real, and I get really sad that I don't want to talk about it anymore, but yeah, just any of the Muppets. Last thing here, Ev C. Framora asks, how long do you plan on doing the podcast? We want it forever. My goal, I hope this ages well, I want to do this for 100 episodes. I don't know 100 people currently that I could sleep on the couches of, but, like, I feel like that's the fun challenge of it. I feel like we'll get a huge range of the different people that I bring on, and I feel like it'll just be a cool thing to look back on and be like, that was a cool way, like, regardless of what this turns into or the, you know, virality of it. I think I'll just be grateful that that's how I spent my early 20s, was traveling and learning from people and making cool shit out of it. So, yeah, 100 episodes. I don't know how long that'll take, but it will probably take long enough where I'll need a chiropractor, because the quality of sleep I've been getting isn't really, what's the word, sustainable. But, you know, it's fun. And it's free. So there are a bunch more questions that I just think we're out of time for. But I'm going to sit here and keep answering them over on my Patreon, which now I am doing solo episodes of this podcast over on my Patreon, exclusive solo episodes. Is it three a month? 2 to 3 a month, something like that, plus other posts. I forget what I decided on. But if you enjoy this podcast and you want to support it, that is the way that you can support the podcast. Genuinely, it would mean so much if you go over there and just check it out. It's $5 a month. You get everything. Plus, there are like 10 or so solo episodes already out, and I'll be answering more of your questions over there. There's also a Discord. The community is great. If you want to join that, that's all over on the Patreon. Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm going to be kind of relaunching that with some more consistency and some more solo podcast episodes. Also, if I run too long with a guest, if an episode goes over too long, I'll put the rest of it over there. So just, you know, extra podcast stuff over there, plus behind the scenes, unreleased videos, a bunch of different like bonus vlogs, a bunch of other content, patreon.com/koipiso. It would mean the world if you check it out. Yeah, it's just a great community. Would love for you to be a part of it. It really, really helps support the channel and supports my dream of being a freeloader. And yeah, thanks so much. So if you can't afford the Patreon right now, or if it just doesn't interest you, that's absolutely no big deal. I seriously don't care about you, and I hope you get in a car crash, but it's really not a big deal otherwise. Sorry about the thing I said about a car crash. That was fake and it won't happen. And if it does, it has nothing to do with what I've said on this podcast. No, but you can actually become a free member of the Patreon, I believe, if you want to like try it out, and then whatever, I'm going to start. Song recommendation that gets added to a playlist. There's an ongoing playlist of all the song recommendations from this show, if you want to check it out in the description. The song recommendation for today is Coming Home Song by Sammy Ray and the Friends. I just think that that's a good song about growing up and taking care of yourself. And yeah, just listen to it. It's a great song. And I feel like is a good way to kind of close the loop of what I've talked about a lot this episode. So thanks so much for watching. I really appreciate it. Happy to be back couch surfing, and excited to see where this continues to take me. If you want more of this episode, it'll be over on the Patreon. I'd really appreciate it if you check it out. Yeah, thank you. And I'll see you next week on a different couch.